Well, good morning, everybody. I knew I was getting close to the end of my series and time, because I don't know if this is quite orange or not, and I think it's the last one, so I have to go to a different color and do something else. I also knew because I couldn't sit in that seat anymore when I got... Find your way to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to have the verses on the wall. There we go. This is a bittersweet day for me. Pastor is back and he will resume bringing God's word to you next week. So this is my last message, and that is the bitter part for me. The sweet part is having Pastor Buckley and his family back. He's my brother and my friend. And I think I speak for everyone, but I know I speak for myself to tell you I've been missed big time. So then, this is the last message, and you'll have to endure through this last one. And I probably should have did it last week when I was preaching on suffering. But it'll have to be what it is. Words cannot describe what this summer has meant to me. It is really one I will never forget. And I want to thank all of you for the opportunity to serve you. I want to thank my wife, because there's no way I would have been able to do this without her hard work and support. You are a gift from God to me. I love you. We better get started or I'll run out of Kleenex before I even get going. So thank you all for this time. Let's read our passage. Matthew 16, starting in verse 24. This is the word of God. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" We're about to pray, but before we do, I want to answer one of the questions right away about following Jesus, and that is, why do we follow Jesus? I don't know that in this study I've spent nearly enough time to the answer to this question, so I want to bring it up now and I want to pray over it. The reason we follow Jesus is to glorify God. Everything we think about, everything we speak, everything we do should be about glorifying God. Amen. Everything should be about bringing glory to our God. Let's pray together. And Father, today we do pray that you are glorified. Father, glorified through your word, glorified through worship, glorified in fellowship as we love one another. Father, and may Country Bible Church become a church whose passion is to see your name glorified throughout the world. We thank you that you are a God of love. We thank you that you've given us Christ. I pray now for your spirit to move in us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We're going to wrap up our series today, and some of this will sound familiar as review, but there's enough people in here where it won't sound familiar that haven't been here. 2 weeks ago, we looked at denying ourselves and forsaking everything to follow Christ. Last week, we looked at taking up our crosses and enduring everything to follow Jesus. This week, we're going to look at actually following Jesus. This is the ninth and final message in our summer series, Abiding in the Reality of Christ, the Leader of Life. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. before we dig in, there's a couple of truths. We deny ourselves and we take up our crosses to follow Jesus. Like everything else we do, it is by grace through faith and a gift. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is a gift of God. We walk with Jesus by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. We follow our Lord Jesus by grace through faith, and that is a gift as well. Our walk is step by step by step by step by step. By grace, by faith, by thanksgiving, by grace, by faith, by thanksgiving. Those are the steps of our walk. Never forget, by grace, through faith, it is a gift. Second, following Jesus is not about jumping off a building and hollering, "Praise God," on the way down, knowing you're going to suffer. Following Jesus is not about seeing who can do the most denying and the most suffering. Following Jesus is not seeing who can do the most for God. It's not even trying to meet what we believe God's expectations of perfection to be. Christ met that perfection for us. We need to stop running around trying to do everything ourselves, and we need to stop carrying around guilt. Listen now and get this. Faithfulness in following Jesus is not doing as much as we can. Faithfulness is pursuing hard after what Jesus leads us to do. And grace covers everything else. Third, following is active. Following is action. Abiding in the Word of God is living the Word of God. Abiding in the love of God is living a life of loving. Abiding in the vine is producing fruit. Okay, here we go. Follow me, the leader of life. Three truths of following Jesus with one pit stop along the way. First, who's following whom? Who's following whom? Second, if we are being led, how are we being led? In what are we being led? So the second thing is, how leads to what? Third, someone is leading us. Where is this person leading us? So the third thing is where it's at. So who's following whom? How leads to what? And where is where it is at? First, who's following whom? Let's look at who. Who is being led? Turn to Ephesians 4. Chapter 4, starting in verse 32. Much of this will be repetitive from what we've learned already. Abiding is a relationship. If you have been in this study and you haven't gotten that yet, get it now. Abiding is a relationship. We are not talking about religion. We are talking about the truth of God. We're talking about the reality of abiding in Christ, experiencing God as our Father. We're jumping right into the middle of the context here. Paul is explaining what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. Ephesians 4, 32. This is the word of God. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. King James translate that, followers. Be followers of God as beloved children. Who follows whom? Children follow God. Who follows whom? Beloved children of God follow. beloved children of God, walking in love, follow. If you are not a child of God, if you are not a beloved child of God, you will not follow. You will not imitate God. For us that are children, let this sink in deeply. We saw the importance of knowing and believing that God sees us as his children. We saw the importance of knowing and believing that we should know that God treats us as a father treats his son. And so it is important that we know and believe that God is our father, and that we respond to God as a son would respond to his father. Is our God the one that we love and that we obey and that we respect above everything else? Do we long to spend time with our father as a son longs to spend time with his dad? I can tell you, when I was a child, when my dad would give me something, that was great, but nothing was as precious to me as spending time with him. If you are a child of God, then walking with Jesus and spending time with God will become precious to you. Who's following whom? The who is beloved children of God, walking in love. The beloved children of God are following, are imitating whom? That's an easy one, right? Matthew 16:24, where we just read, said, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" We follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. Not me, not Pastor Buckley, not John Piper, not Dear Abby or Dr. Phil or a bunch of rules and regulations or some fuzzy little feeling in our belly. We follow Jesus by grace, through faith, as a gift of God. We follow him. Turn to Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 25. Now, let me just say, the things and the people I just mentioned are absolutely useful in helping you follow Jesus. But he is the only one we follow. And perhaps some of those things aren't useful in following Jesus. I like the way I put me and Pastor Buckley with John Piper. Or I like the way I put John Piper with Dr. Phil and Dear Eddie. Not sure how that works. Luke 14. Beloved children of God, walking in love, follow Jesus. Verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and he said to him, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Make no mistake about it. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our Lord and our King. We need to obey Jesus. If we are not obeying Jesus, then we are not denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, and following our Lord. And we cannot then be his disciples. We, beloved children of the living God, follow Jesus by grace through faith as a gift from God. We follow our Lord. Yes, we follow Jesus. But how, you might ask, and I'm really glad you asked. Find your way to our abiding passage in John 15. Who's following whom? God's children follow Jesus. Now we're going to look at how leads to what. How are we being led? And in what are we being led? going to read a couple of verses from Romans 8 before I read in John 15. We've been in this passage all summer, so I'm not concerned about setting up the context. Listen now. Romans 8, 12 through 14 says this. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We are led by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us, and His leading is how we follow. We could spend weeks on the leading of the Holy Spirit, but I want to focus on what we've looked at in some of the previous passages. We're going to come at it a little bit different angle, though, so this will sound a little familiar. Let's look at our vine passage and reestablish the keys to our journey. When we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's when we're abiding in the vine. What does this leading ultimately accomplish? John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Fruit bearing. It's all about fruit bearing. If we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will be bearing fruit. Just a side note, too. Notice the pruning. This really ties into last week's message on suffering. Just as a pruned branch bears more fruit, so too does a heart purified by enduring suffering produce more fruit. It's all about fruit, brothers and sisters. Go down to verse 7, and we'll see the two keys and the ultimate reason to follow and have fruit. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The two keys to being led by the Holy Spirit of God are abiding in the Word of God and abiding in the love of God. And the ultimate reality of fruit bearing is in verse 8. Look back at it. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Fruit. It's all about fruit, because when we are bearing fruit, we are glorifying God. We must abide in the reality of Christ. We must abide in the Word of Christ and the love of Christ. What's abiding in you? Is it the Word of God, or is it the sounds and the busyness of life? What's abiding in you? Is it the Word of God or the pressures of work and ministry? Is it worry and anxiety? What's abiding in you? Is it the love of Christ, or is it the love of power and money and stuff? Is it the love of Christ, or is it the love of yourself and pride? Is it the love of Christ, or is it the love of the things of this world? If we want to follow our leader, we must have our minds set on him. If we want to follow our leader, our heart must be in love with him. If we want to bear fruit, our minds must be set on God, and our hearts must be full of Christ. Beloved children of God are led by the Spirit of God to bear fruit and to glorify God. So who's following whom? Beloved children of God are following Jesus. How leads to what? Being led by the Holy Spirit of God produces fruit. And before we get to number 3, where is where it is at? I need to sidetrack and then make a pit stop. First, the sidetrack. Let's finish the rest of this passage, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love no one has than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. They don't even have time to talk about the joy. Maybe we've touched on it this summer. But I want to talk about the commandment to love one another. There are any number of ways that we know the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I have to tell you, God has given us each other. God has given us each other. And I'm ashamed of myself not to have worked the body of Christ into this series at some point. I guess I am now. It is hugely important that we are united together in Christ. It is hugely important that we gather together to be loving one another and to be serving each other, to be worshiping together, and to be proclaiming the gospel arm in arm to the ends of the earth. We are not to be standalone servants of Christ. We are to be members of his body working together in love for his glory. That was the pit stop. Just so you know, pit stops, no, that was the sidetrack. Just so you know, pit stops are longer than sidetracks. Sidetracks stay in the passage. Pit stops take an off-ramp. Keep your finger in 1 John. We're going to go to our off-ramp in 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's all about bearing fruit. We live to bear fruit. We were created to bear fruit. We exist to bear fruit. This passage is also familiar to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have been obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We unpacked this glorious passage back in Enjoy the Journey. Today I want to focus on fruit. It's all about fruit, brothers and sisters. Let's see some fruit here. Verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Brothers and sisters, are these qualities yours? And are they increasing in you? There is a warning here by the word of God. Do you lack these qualities? God says to make your calling and election sure. We need fruit. Why? Why? Why is fruit so important? Flip back to John 15. Fruit. Where's the fruit? John 15, starting in verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ as ministers of reconciliation to the living God in this hostile land. And we are being sanctified. We are becoming more and more like Christ. Are these things happening in you? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, if you are not abiding in the Word of Christ, and if you are not abiding in the love of Christ, if you are not a child of God being led by the Holy Spirit of God, then you are not part of the vine, and heed the warning of God. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. That is the word and warning of God. Turn to Luke 12. Are you a child of God and stuck in a rut? Does the warning of fruitlessness concern you? Then consider this passage, Luke 12, starting in verse 16. This is speaking of Jesus. Jesus will be the one talking. Verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O, you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I considered how long this passage was, and I almost didn't read it all. But this is so very, very important, brothers and sisters. What is our heart condition? What is your heart condition? For those of you that believe that you are children of God, are you sure? God says, make your calling and election sure. Does the Holy Spirit of God indwell you? If your answer is yes, then praise God. The next question then, though, is, are you bearing fruit? Where your treasure is, where your heart is, will determine whether you're bearing fruit. Brothers and sisters, if your treasure is in this world, repent. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Follow your Lord and begin to build up treasures in heaven. It is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's all about fruit because it's all about glorifying God. So that ends the pit stop. Let's remember where we are. Who's following whom? Beloved children of God, follow Jesus. How leads to what? Being led by the Spirit of God produces fruit. We're going to end this message in this series with number three. Where is where it's at? Where does Jesus lead us? Where is where it's at? Where is the happening place? Where is the place to be? In this series, we've been from Genesis to Revelation and many passages in between. Let's close by turning to John 13, starting in verse 31. And let's let Jesus tell us where He's leading us and how to get there. This is my last message. And I was praying over if this was the last time God ever had me to speak to you, what would He have me to say to you? To unbelievers, today is the day of salvation. Be reconciled to God. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. Believe in Jesus and what He did on the cross for you. Repent and have faith in Christ and spend eternity with God. It's about all I can say to you. To believers, love. Brothers and sisters, it's all about love. Understand and seek to understand even more the love that God has for you in Christ. And set your mind and your hearts on that love. And love each other. Love each other as Christ loved us. Put each other ahead of yourself as Christ put Himself ahead of us, us ahead of Himself, all the way to the cross. Deny ourselves for each other. Bear each other's burdens and share in suffering with each other. Love each other as God loved us. When we are loving each other as Christ loved us, then the world knows that we are God's children. When we love each other as Christ loved us, then the world knows that God loves us like He loved Jesus. And the very last thing I would say to you is to enjoy your time on this earth. This is all a gift from God. Salvation is a gift. Walking is a gift. Suffering is a gift from God. And spending eternity with Jesus in heaven is a gift. John chapter 13, starting in verse 31. This is the word of God. When He had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I have said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot come now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Jesus says, little children, where I am going, you cannot come. And then Jesus, Lord of the universe, gives a new commandment that we should love one another as Jesus loved us. Just as I have loved you, you love one another. And Peter, after hearing his Lord, after hearing his leader of life tell them they could not go where he was going, Peter asks the Lord, where are you going? Jesus says, where I'm going now, you cannot follow. But afterward, you may follow. Then Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will die for you to follow you. And Jesus asked him, will you die for me, Peter? No, Peter, not yet. Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me 3 times. Can you imagine how crushed Peter was by these words? But in the life of Jesus, there are no chapter breaks. Look at the next recorded words of Christ. As all of these disciples heard what was going on, and consider their heart condition. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Faith. Faith. Believe in God and believe in me also. I am going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and I will take you to myself. And I will do this so where I am, you can be with me. And Thomas didn't still get it. Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? How, Jesus? How, dear God, can we know the way? I want to know the way. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters, abiding in the reality of Christ is the only way to God. Jesus is leading us to eternal life with him in heaven forever. We have Christ, and we'll have him always. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the exceedingly great and precious promise of Jesus coming to get us. We will be with him forever. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that you have given us this past summer to look at abiding in Christ, loving you, loving each other, bearing fruit. Father, I pray that Country Bible Church is a church that is so focused and in love with you that fruit bears much. May your name be glorified in this community and beyond because of our love for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.